Welcome to the Kathy Donovan Sessions. I'm your host, Kathy Donovan. We're talking relationships, secrets, superpowers, and we're setting ourselves up to live life fully. Let's get started. If you're in a relationship that requires a little refreshing, maybe you're a single woman looking for a co-star for your life adventure, my guest today has some insight and some intel that she's going to share with us to really up-level your relationship with yourself and with somebody else. Coach Danielle Johnson-Smith is talking to us today from Florida. Hi, Danielle.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you so much.
I want to talk about relationships and I want to get right to it because there's so much that you have to offer. And I love, we've become sort of friends through Instagram and I've watched your journey over the last couple of years. I've watched you get married. I've watched you get happier. I've watched you just step into your power. And it's very exciting and inspiring. And that's what we want to do today. We want to inspire people to step into their true power in relationship to themselves and others. So let's talk about your personal journey to becoming a relationship coach. How does a person become a relationship coach?
Thank you. Yeah, so I started out much like you as a happiness and mindset coach, and because I really believe in the power of one. It doesn't take I transformed relationships and I transformed how I was attaching with men. But what I will say is it only takes one person to really transform a relationship and how we're showing up. And when I started out, I was like, it's really about your happiness. If you're happy within, you can create everything. But one I further learned along the way, and here's a funny story. I sat down in 2007 telling my friend, I'm going to start a life coaching business. And she's like, and happiness and mindset. She's like, why are you not doing relationships? And I'm like, I was so upset at her. I'm like, why do you care? She's like, but you got it down. You've got to help people with this stuff. And I'm like, no, it only takes you. You need to do this. You can make yourself happy. But then what I later uncovered is no matter how you think, maybe you have a happiness, positive mindset, there's actually unhealed wounds, programming from childhood, belief systems that are at play that can create problems in relationships. And so that's what I really discovered. And I really want, it was a calling because I did it all wrong. And I wanted to help single women especially get it right so that they attract the love of their life.
Yeah, there is nothing like teaching what you know because you've had the experience of it. And there's nothing like trust in a teacher who's been where you are. I just love that. And I know you have a background in psychology, so you've got a depth of understanding of human behavior. And I share that interest with you. That's why I do what I do. I have such a fascination in why people do the things they do. Why do we keep repeating the same things over and over again, expecting a different result and not getting what we want in life? You know, we are so powerful. And I believe that what you teach and how you share with women really helps them to, you know, unlock their superpowers, if you will. So can we take a little sidebar journey though and find out about your own personal experience? Because that's really the underpinning to the calling of what you're doing is you've had the experience and now you're happily married. So that's what people are looking for. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I got a lot of things right. You know, the positive mindset and all of that. But what I kept having trouble with was in my love life. I would meet a guy and I'd be so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think this guy's the one. And I'd reach out to him and I'd be in like this masculine energy and pushing energy. And they would like stop contacting me and all of these things. And I couldn't figure out. I'm like, I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I'm funny. Like you start to think like I'm so flawed and broken. What's wrong with me? And I realized that nothing's wrong with me. It was just programming and wounds and masks that came from childhood that I just really needed to clean up that energetic space so that I could call in the love of my life. And that's what really happened. And so my 20s and 30s was a disaster, literally. But I learned so much from that, so many key lessons. And I'm able to help women today because I know all the things that I did wrong and I can help them collapse time. They don't have to spend like I did. I got married at 45 years old thinking I'm so flawed. They don't have to waste years. I mean, we can literally change all of this within 90 days, 6 months, we can uncover and start healing and becoming aware of all the things that we're bringing to the table, because we can't change other people. We can only change ourselves.
Yeah. And everything is energy. So how you're thinking, how you're feeling underneath all the beautiful mask we put on in the world, how you're thinking and feeling really is projecting out into the world through that, what you call masculine energy. Let's talk about that, because there's divine feminine energy and divine masculine energy. And I guess all men and women have both, right?
Yeah, we have both essence, but we were born a dominant energy. And for me, I'm definitely born more feminine energy. But what I found was, and I didn't know, I wish I had known years ago, was I was actually stepping into my masculine energy, and that was dominating everything. And that would look like controlling energy. It would look like, you know, trying to control situations, control others. And I didn't even know I was doing it, because I'm like a nice person and I'm a giver and all of these things, you know, I'm a people pleaser. So it's like, how am I controlling? I had to take a hard look at myself. And what feminine energy is this lean back, open, receptive, pleasure, you know, flowy. And masculine energy is leaning forward, trying to fix relationships, fix problems, controlling things and people around us, giving. See, we always think that, you know, mothering or giving is a feminine energy, but it's not. It's a masculine energy. Women are more open and receptive. And once I learned to balance those energies and realize that, first of all, I had to realize I was even in masculine energy probably 80% of the time or more, especially when you run a business for yourself. So yeah, I was learning to balance those in relationships. And it's not saying that masculine, we have to have masculine energy to get things done, but we don't want to bring those to the table in a relationship.
I love everything you just said. And I think that's one of the real secrets to happiness in a relationship, is that balance in ourselves between that masculine and divine feminine energy. And, you know, women are conditioned, I say con, Danielle, into thinking that they have to be in charge, that they have to do everything for everybody, take care of everybody else's needs. And in my business, I meet a lot of women who at midlife have done that, and then they fall apart because they're exhausted, they're discouraged because they didn't allow anybody to give to them. Mm-hmm. So they're empty, they're you know, frustrated, and they're tired, and they don't know what to do. So I think, you know, this is a beautiful conversation to have around, you know, learning to receive more, just as an experiment. Try one day just allowing somebody to do something for you, and that will show you the feeling that we want to nurture and encourage in ourselves. I love that. I love that. So you got married at 45 years old. How did you meet your husband?
Well, we actually, to be honest with you, we dated and then we broke up, and I had to get my stuff together. And it wasn't like, it was just like, I just didn't have things together. But we met at, my friend invited us out to a lunch. And when I first met him, I did not like him because he was very masculine. And I saw that as a threat. You know, I was like, I don't like him. He was very in his power and masculine. And I had really learned to kind of see the strong power in a man as kind of a threatening. And like, I didn't feel good around that. Yeah. And by the way, I just wanted to back up. I just wanted to touch on what you last said. You know, when we often, this is the key in the light bulb, is when we women feel almost exhausted and we're giving to everybody else and people pleasing and we feel like we can't do anything else, that's when we have to look and see, am I in my masculine energy? And almost always that is it, because feminine energy is happiness, really. And we were born to live in tribes. And when we were in tribes, women were like, we did all the fun, flowy things. We went and collected and gathered. We were gathering things around and putting things together and making. And it was just a real soft thing. And men were out there doing the hunting and taking care of and providing, in a sense, you know? So if you just think about, we've been just in the modern times, women want to have it all. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we've got to learn to balance those energies and step back in a relationship to make it successful.
Yeah, 100%. So let's get back to you. So you met Brad, you didn't like him, you had to go and figure things out. And what shifted for you?
Wow. You know, it was really healing the like wounds of like looking at the masculine. I think, how do I put this? We're programmed to look at men in a particular light. I always say in my programs, you know, women say things like men are jerks, men don't want to communicate, men don't want to love, men don't know how to do this. And when we have that wall, that energy, it's really repelling. And so I didn't even know how to take on his masculine energy. Like I was really in my just wounded feminine. I was just like, I don't know how to even deal with him. I wanted him to be somebody else. And I didn't know how to like handle it, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yeah. So I just did a lot of work. I've been doing work really honestly since 2006 in the mindset and the personal development. So I just really worked on myself and we were apart for 8 months and then we like bumped into each other and I was like, oh, he is so hot. There was that charge because it's that feminine and masculine energy. Yes. I'm like, whoa, we always had this magnetism, but it was just me kind of like being able to understand the masculine and just studying that and really being soft and lean back and accepting of his masculinity without trying to change him because I wanted to always want him to be somebody he wasn't.
Right on. There's another mistake that women make when they find themselves in the beginning of a relationship. Oh, it's okay. That will change or he will change or, you know, whatever. We have a lot of very misguided notions. And I say, you know, we've been conned. We've been conned into thinking a lot of things about our lives that we have to unlearn in order to really embrace what you call this divine feminine and allow the divine masculine to kind of calm down a little bit so we can enjoy being women, being feminine. It's really such a privilege and an honor to be loved properly. I mean, and it's what I feel that we need to do for ourselves first. You know, this idea of self-love, for me, it's just made everything lighter and, you know, I'm nicer. I just feel so grateful that, you know, those little pieces got put in the right place, I guess I could say. And you know, that idea that you said earlier to me that, you know, we feel there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with us. We just have a whole pile of misunderstandings we need to be corrected. May I ask you this question, Danielle? What is the difference then between thinking I need to go to a therapist to work on this or I need to go to Danielle Johnson coach to talk about this idea?
So I've had therapy myself. It's wonderful. And the good news is I actually know the why to a lot of things because I spent years trying to uncover the why of why I do things, why men do things, why people do things that used to drive me insane. But typically a therapist is going to bring you in and talk about your childhood and where it stems from. Now I certainly can bring that up with a client. Yeah. But what we really do is, and we do uncover these beliefs, but we work it in a different manner of really uncovering the beliefs that did happen, the programming that did happen. We unschool you, but then we give you a way to move forward where therapy really normally doesn't, unless this therapist is also a coach and not just calling themselves a coach, but really has dived into really understanding coaching, but really moving forward and how to shift your beliefs constantly. Because usually they don't talk about how to shift beliefs, mm-hmm. how to move forward. And therapy is kind of diving into the past. And I would say coaching is more going towards the future, how to bring you forward.
Yes, I would agree with that. And, you know, what I loved about therapy was the getting into acceptance of what is. It gave me space to accept life the way it was, to stop blaming others for the outcome that I had, and to start taking ownership and responsibility for my own behavior, for my own thoughts, my own actions. And I agree with you, you know, not everybody's coachable in my experience. So we have to be prepared to do the work. And, you know, in therapy, it was the same for me. The therapist I went to made sure that I did the work, that I brought up the subjects, that I did the exploration. So it set me up beautifully, I feel, to help other people to get into their own lane and work on whatever their situation is without me having to be in the lane with them. You know, it's very empowering when we can explain a few things, as you like to say, to allow people to say to themselves, I never thought of it like that. Mm-hmm. It's a new way of looking at life. And really what you're doing is providing women with a new way of really appreciating themselves too, because that's where it begins in your connection with them as a coach. You're not going to shame them into thinking they're doing things wrong. You're going to help them see how they can shift their thinking to create a better outcome. I love that.
Yeah, I really battled with, am I a relationship coach? Because I was talking to my coach, because I feel like if you're a coach, you probably should have a coach so you can, like, you know, how to learn how, what you, I don't know, it helps you a lot. But I will say, I felt like I would really empower women to align with their soul. And when we align with our soul and who we are in our essence and get rid of all the programming, we really step into our power and magnetism, and then we flourish and attracting the right partner and dating or a relationship. So although on the surface, I look like a relationship coach, I'm really helping you align with your soul.
Yeah. And that to me is what loving yourself is. Mm-hmm. Loving yourself is really appreciating the essence of yourself. It isn't about whether your legs are long. It doesn't matter. That's not important. What's important is who you are at that soul level, at that deep level, and learning to appreciate that then allows us to appreciate everything about ourselves. It isn't about the amount of weight you carry or the height you have or the length of your hair. It has nothing to do with that. Rather, it's all about the energy you bring to everything you do. So I think we're on the same page there. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I want to touch on, and the reason I say, like, I don't usually work with couples, although I can, but the reason I work with a woman is because we are programmed. We walk with a built-in perfectionism wound.
Wow.
It is hard to overcome. And that is a lot of, like, some of that uncovering of, and then that shows up in the relationship. My husband and I, so men have this, usually this competence wound, and women have a perfectionism wound, and it starts stabbing at each other. And it's wonderful because I can tell my husband, oh, that's your competence wound that's kicking in right now. And then when he says something, I'm like, that's my perfectionism wound. And kind of look at it and laugh, and it's almost separates yourself from it. So when you know what you're bringing to the table, when you clean this up, it just softens the relationship and things just become easier, because we have this belief that relationships are hard, and they can be. Oh my gosh, I have been through hell and back, to be honest with you. Okay. But when you start working on yourself, when you start uncovering all the things that really are within, then it just gets to be easier over time. So it's not, you know, automatic, but it does happen eventually. It just kind of becomes smooth and easy, because we can look and laugh at ourselves and look at what's happening. Because I'm a coach, I really know what's happening. So I'm like, oh, that's my perfectionism wound. That's my mother wound that I have. So yeah.
Can you tell me how, for men, the competence wound shows up? I'm sure people are interested to know more about that.
Yeah, it's really sad. So as men, as children in general, you know, we are programmed, specifically men are programmed, that you have to be really good. Men don't cry. And it's like, you know, it starts with sports, you know, and there's nothing wrong with sports. Sports teach so much, but there are a lot of fathers, especially generations before and the before, is really programming their sons to, like, boys don't cry, suck it up. You don't need to do this. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Especially if you've been brought up in, say, a traumatic childhood, you know, or maybe alcoholism in the home or child abuse or in verbal abuse. There's a lot of shame. And men feel like they've got to be, you know, be very competent and do things just right. And the reason this is if I do everything right, if I am perfect, if I have everything ducks in a row, if I'm very competent, I provide money, I provide, you know, a home, I provide everything for them, they won't pick at my wound.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if they pick at my wound, I keep them aback. And we have kind of like these patterns where men specifically will want to make a lot of money or be prestigious. So if I make a lot of money and I'm very prestigious, you won't pick at my wound. You won't come at me because it's like a wall or a barrier for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
go ahead.
Oh yeah. And so recognizing that even to begin with of what am I doing to protect and shield and soothe myself so that they don't come after me, which oftentimes might have been trauma in childhood, but it doesn't have to be because we all are programmed and we've all had things happen. No matter how wonderful our parents are, we're in different generations and times, but back then there was a lot of maybe shaming to get children to be a certain way or, you know, different things. So there's a lot of programming there.
Of course. And the whole idea of, you know, for women, you haven't done enough. You aren't enough. You know, you've got to do this properly. And I can remember many times feeling so judged and criticized by other women who would point out that I didn't do something their way. And I would feel less and I would feel like, oh God, I mean, I don't know how I can learn all this stuff and be all this stuff. I just don't know. But that must be the perfectionism wound just showing up. Yeah.
It's a mirror. So we project onto other people our own things and we don't even know we're doing it. So if we're judging other people, it's really the judgment within ourselves. And because we have this perfection wound, if I have my children are perfect, they're on a roll and my home is just perfect and I cook the perfect lasagna and, you know, I'm thin or I'm this enough or I'm that enough, people won't come after me. They won't pick on my wound. And so I keep them at bay.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I think we're learning to be more vulnerable to, we're learning about these wounds, you know, that we're seeing a huge shift on this planet, especially in the online space.
100%. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to be flawed, gloriously flawed. Let's just go for the gusto. Can we talk a little about what is the sort of philosophical framework that you hold? Are you a spiritual person? Are you a faith person? Are you religious? What's the grounding for Danielle?
Wow. So I'm going to give you just a little background so you can get a feel. So I was brought up, my parents weren't religious, but my grandparents were super Christian. And I went to church with them and I loved it. And it was really beautiful. And so I didn't have a real issue with it. But then when I went to high school, I went to a Christian academy. I felt very judged. It was the wounded Christianity part of everything where I felt judged and like, you know, I had to do everything perfect and like, you know, all these rules, the dogma, the like, and I went away from it for a long time. And then one day when I was just feeling those moments of feeling broken about myself, thinking I was broken, I went back at 40 years old and I got baptized in the Christian church. But before that happened, I was delving into spirituality because if you're in the personal development realm, you learn a lot about how you are a spiritual being and how you are energy. And so what I would say is, although I got baptized at 40, and although I love the Bible and I love Christianity, what I also think is that the Bible has been misinterpreted a lot. And there's a lot of things that are spiritual in nature that a lot of people don't know unless they start uncovering it. So I would say I'm a mix between Christianity and spiritual. And I think I had a term for it at one time. I can't even remember what I called it, but it was really funny. But yeah, it's just like a mix and meld so much. And, you know, I've always been open because my dad was in the Air Force. So we moved around and I had friends of different faiths, you know, Buddhism and different things. And so I really just am so open to any and everything really. And I think we're really only the religion that we were brought up. That's that program. If you were born in another part of the world, you'd be something else. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so fascinating to me how we ground ourselves spiritually in the invisible, so to speak. And, you know, our journey has been very similar. I'm going to say it again. I did the same. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to a convent for high school. And then I started to study theology in university. And it just really turned me off. I just could not get around my head around the dogma and all the things I couldn't do and shouldn't do. And I'm that person who's very courageous. I'm a little bit of a rebel. I like to do things my way. And I hit the highway. And then I came back to this idea that, you know, Jesus is just fine. Jesus is one guy. And I do have great admiration for the teachings that Jesus brings. I have great admiration for the teachings of all religious leaders. And so it helps me to navigate knowing that there are all these inspiring folks who went before me, and I can take the best from them and do my best to do my best. And that's really, I think, what you're basically saying too. We have to have our own code of the road, in a sense, to forge the path that we're forging as coaches and leaders in our own right. So the last thing I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, I know people are picking up a lot of inspiration from the things you're sharing today, but the last thing I wanted to talk about was how you moved to Florida, because this is really such a beautiful idea of, this is something I really want to do, and you know what? I'm just going to do it. And so can you share a little bit of that story for us?
Yeah, so in 2005, I was going through my dad's house, just nosing around in his garage, and I found a cassette series. Cassette, that really ages me. And he had a cassette series, Unleash the Power, or Unleash Your Personal Power by Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, can I borrow these? And I took them home, and I started diving into them. And I was like, wait, what? We can change our lives. Like, we're not just handed the circuit. Like, you're just not born into everything. You're just not handed. You're not just like a victim to your circumstances. You mean you can literally do whatever you want? Like, that was such a foreign concept to me. I didn't even know that that existed. And so that summer, I started reading Unleash or the Giant Within by Tony Robbins and like diving into all this stuff. And I sat there and I go, what I really desire is to move to the beach. And I was like, I'll just move to Florida. And so within 6 months, what I did was at the time, and later went back to college, but I quit college. I wanted this dream so bad to move to the beach. I wanted sunshine. I just, for some reason, I was drawn to the beach. And I decided I quit college. I quit my job. I saved a bunch of money and I worked and I quit my job. And I sold almost all my stuff and I packed it all in a Penske truck, a 17-foot Penske truck, put my vehicle on the back on Easter Day. I said goodbye to my friends and family. And I just moved to Jacksonville area, at the time, St. Augustine area. And I didn't have a job and I didn't have a place to live. And I just like made it all happen within a month. But what I had was this like faith that I could make it happen. Like I all of a sudden felt power within myself, just like the book says. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make this happen. And so that's what I did. That's how I ended up here. And I think it's been 12 years. I don't know. You have to do the math. 2006 is when I moved. So March of 2006. So here I am.
It's a fantastic story, and it speaks to the courage that is all of our superpower, Danielle. I think we all need to tap into what are our deepest desires and dreams, and how can we make them happen? And sometimes you have to just say goodbye to family and friends and hit the road. Other times you can just simply sit down at your desk and start writing. Maybe it's painting, whatever it is for you that you need to dive into. And most especially, you know, just to talk about relationships to wrap it up, that you know, you bring a lot of insight. And for such a young woman, I feel you have such an old soul. I feel like you have a lot of wisdom to share with people to help them navigate so that they can be their best and attract their very best. So I thank you for your time today, Danielle. I look forward to all of your shenanigans. You can follow Danielle on Instagram. We'll have some information for you in the post. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I really appreciate you.
I really appreciate you being here with me today. If you enjoyed this session, please subscribe and share with a friend to help me spread the good word. For other episodes, visit my website, kathydonovan.com.